make sure it's running.
Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning before we start. Father, we are grateful again for the message that we heard this morning. It reminds us so much of the times that we live in, and the fact that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so, Lord, as we see the days approaching and we see the things that are happening even in our own country, I pray, Father, that you give us wisdom in that. Help us to be faithful to your word. Help us to stand strong in it. And, Lord, we ask that you'd bless our time now as we talk about this child protection plan. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, that's what we're going to do, is we're going to talk about a child protection plan. We have been working on this for quite some time. We've been concerned about it. We've been influenced by others, even including our insurance company, the importance of it. And as Pastor Dan talked about this morning, we obviously all see the world that we live in and the challenges that there are. And we know that vengeance belongs to God, but at the same time, we need to take precautions in the things that we do. So this has been really important to us. And because it is, what we did was we began to form this policy, taking policies from different churches and putting them together. And then when we got our final document, what we did was we went to a law firm and we had them check our draft, and we made some more changes. The way things are worded in the world we live, you can sometimes make words say things that they don't want to, that you don't really mean that they're supposed to say. So we felt it was important to do that. So that's what we did. And we all know that in the beginning the world was not like it is today. But when sin entered the world, it corrupted everything. No one and nothing escapes its evil grasp. Paul wrote in Romans 3:10 that there are none righteous, no, not one. Sin has corrupted every part of our human existence, including our thinking, our actions, and our desires. And so it's no surprise that people will do unspeakable things to children. We've all seen the evils of the world. We've heard of the stories and the things that have happened. And so it's important for us to not only teach our children, but to protect them and to protect our staff and to protect us basically as a church body. Well, God has given parents a unique authority over their children. In some sense, He's given any adult who watches over children, whether it be a teacher or a coach or a babysitter or even a fellow church member, a level of responsibility for that child as well. So I just want to share a couple things that I found that was just kind of amazing to me, some of these statistics. But, you know, whether, and maybe some of you know this, but there are approximately 740,000 registered sex offenders in the United States alone. More than 100,000 of them fail to report each year. In 2010, over 63,000 cases of child abuse were reported. Children under the age of 12 make up half of all the victims of child abuse. And when I read this, my eyes were really opened. We know that this is around us, but is it really that bad? And so I was pretty much appalled that we have such a massive problem. And so we need to take the responsibility to not only teach but also to protect our kids. While only God can save children, God uses parents who raise their children in training and instruction of the Lord and as a means to pass the truth on to the next generation. Moses gave this instruction to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're all pretty much familiar with it, but I want to read it because we need to keep these things in our minds. It said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Later on in that same book, in chapter 31, Moses said that Israel was to do these things so that their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God. Well, as parents, as pastors, and as children ministry workers, we want to communicate the truths of God to our children, and that these kids one day will fear the Lord, because they're the next coming generation. They're the ones to carry on the Word of God. And we also feel that protecting our children is a high calling from God. So it's important to set up parameters to protect our children. And that's our goal here at Grace Community Bible Church, is to teach and protect our children. So we have to be alert to this and not have an attitude to think that these things can't happen here. And so we say, so why the church? Well, here's some more. Some sexual offenders say that they go to churches because they see Christians as naive. Many offenders report that religious people are even easier to fool than average people. Christians are generally more trusting people, and predators take advantage of that. When we come to church, we automatically lower our guard when we're amongst professing believers. Why not? Let the kids play. That's their friends. And we're together. And we, a lot of times, put this a little bit out of our thinking. Well, really, sometimes too many Christians are ignorant of the problem of abuse, especially when it happens in churches. I read a book on this, and I was absolutely amazed of some of the things that have happened in churches to God-fearing Christian people that thought it was just a very safe environment and let their guard down. And so, and I'm not going to repeat those, but it does happen. So I got some copies here, and it'd be nice if we could just have a copy for each family. But you can take what's there. So I want you to just take a look at it. We're not going to cover everything that's in it, but there are some high points that I want to hit in the time that we have. And then if we have some time, we can take some questions at the end. Again, what you see before you is what was the finished product from the lawyers. And so we're not here to change things, but I just want to go through so we can get an understanding of what we're looking at. So if you look at the vision and mission of our children's ministry, that statement, I'll just keep one here so I can follow along a little bit too. But I want to read that part to you. First of all, the Children's Ministry of Grace Community Bible Church. Everybody got a copy? Everybody there? Okay. The Children's Ministry of Grace Community Bible Church exists to glorify God by sustaining a safe and secure environment for children, youth, adults, members, volunteers, visitors, and paid staff. Encouraging parents who are primarily responsible for teaching biblical truth to their children. And you'll see that there are scripture references after each one of these. I'm not going to read all of those. Making the whole counsel of Scripture known to children with a central emphasis on the gospel. Praying that the Holy Spirit would regenerate their hearts through the faithful teaching of His Word. and living faithfully before the children, a model of how Christians are called to respond to God, interact with each other, and interact with the world around us. And then encouraging children to serve and not to just be served. Maintaining a high ethical standards such that volunteers and teachers live and serve above reproach. Protecting the reputation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then seventh, preparing children to one day walk with God as adults, which means preparing them to participate and become members in a biblical and local church. Well, our policy objectives follows that, and I'll just read through those quickly too. By the way, this will all be taught to members. I'll get to that a little bit further as we wanted to do this now as we head for a new season, a new time this fall. We start our classes again and so forth. But our objectives are to enable Grace Community Bible Church to evaluate a person's suitability to supervise, oversee, or exert control over the activities of minors for the purpose of a safe and secure environment. Satisfy the concerns of parents and staff members with a screening process for paid staff and volunteers. And provide a system to respond to alleged victims of abuse and their families, as well as the alleged perpetrator. Reduce the possibility of false accusations of abuse made against volunteers and paid staff. And then Grace Community Bible Church will provide training for this to all volunteers and paid staff. The next part, you'll see the definitions is used in the policy, and that's just describes as we go through it. They'll be used. You can read through that. And then the protection and prevention policy. We need to do a criminal background check. And these will they're paid for. We set up a company. It's called Protect My Ministries. They basically do 95% of the churches in the United States. We check them out. They more go the extra mile for over a 50-state period to check all these things out. There's actually 12 states, I believe, that do not have on their they have them on their records, but they're not published like the other states as to where those offenders are located and so forth. But this company takes care of those 12 states besides. So we felt pretty secure in having them do this. Bob Bonahome is setting that up right now, and we're going to begin with the leadership on this. I'll explain that a little bit later, how we're going to do that. And so we're going to have this criminal background check. We need to have it for the fact that if such a situation ever happened, and all of these things in the policy, we need to have a policy like this in place, because if you don't and you had a situation and you had to go to court and there was no policy or no direction of what people are to do, you'd probably have about three strikes against you to start with. Because that doesn't work with our government or in court. And that's the reason we need to have this policy. Also, we're going to do a six-month rule, which is for all paid staff and volunteers will be required to have to be a member of Grace Community Bible Church for 6 months. And then they'll review and they'll sign this and they'll be instructed in these things. Up until this point, we have not done that because we've always had a lack of people to fill the nursery and to do Sunday school teaching and so forth. And so obviously we've been cautious, but this just puts it in place, and it's kind of a firewall even for having a good reason to have church membership. We know who's in, we know who's out, they've been interviewed, they're a part of us, and they're professing believers in Christ. So there's going to be if somebody comes to the church, first of all, they go through a membership class. If they want to be a part of the church, then they will do an interview. They become members, and then there will be a six-month period before they will participate in teaching Sunday school or in the nursery and so forth. And we feel we have enough people now that we can take care of this. As people come, there will always be some that will continue to be a part of that. And then as far as the confidentiality, information obtained through the criminal background check will be kept in confidence. Unless otherwise required by law, all information discovered or obtained through the above reference means they'll be kept confidential. Okay, so then the supervision procedures. And I'm not going to, you can read these as we go, but the second one is that we will utilize a sign-in and a sign-out process. And we're going to do this, our cutoff age is about 8 and under. We do this now in the nursery when kids are brought in, they're signed out. But we will do this with our small Sunday school, two smallest Sunday school classes, and it'll be up to about age 8 that we'll do this. So for those on down, there's going to be a sign-in and a sign-out sheet. Right now, we have this set up that when this is done, it'll be parents, guardian, or authorized guardian. So for instance, if you as a parent bring your child down, you would sign in, and you wanted somebody else to pick them up, you would sign their name. And so when they're picked up, then there's a sign out by either the authorized person or the person that brought them down there. We're not completely sold on this yet. We have about three other options that can be done electronically, and so anyway, we're still working on that, but we do have this in place. We want to start this, by the way, on September 20th. September 20th will be our official date, so to speak, and then we'll so we're going to have some training before that, and we'll have that on the 13th. That'll be Sunday the 13th. It'll be right after this class, and it'll be downstairs for those that are now serving in. Well, if you're serving in the nursery or if you're serving as a Sunday school teacher, then you'll come down and you'll get that instruction. We're not going to spend. It's not going to take a long time. We were hoping that we could do it probably within a half hour, but it's something that we want to do, and it needs to be done if we're going to put this in place. Also, I think it's number 3. Yeah, number 3. We'll obtain a written parental permission, including a sign-in medical treatment form and emergency contacts before taking minors on Grace Community Bible Church special trips, such as camping or whatever that might be. No volunteer or paid staff will be alone in a vehicle with a minor. Paid staff and or volunteers on special trips will transport minors only when another adult is present or when multiple minors, more than one, are in the vehicle. Now, this doesn't mean that when your friend asks you if you can pick up his child and bring him home, that this isn't under that. It's just when these are GCBC scheduled events that we would have. So that's what we're talking about here, and we just want to protect everybody. Staff and volunteers are never to be alone with children. Always two people should be present. This protection is for everybody. We'll screen all paid staff and volunteers and approve all individuals in advance for any special overnight things. So if we're going to, if we do, somebody's going to do some kind of an overnight thing, it's not going to just be at somebody's house that has not been approved. These things need to be, because it would be situation would be a Grace Community Bible Church event. No volunteer or paid staff will be alone in a vehicle. Okay, wait a minute. I'm repeating myself here. Okay, let's go to the behavioral guidelines. First of all, Grace Community Bible Church will provide training on this to all volunteers and paid staff so that everyone is instructed properly. This will be reviewed once per year. If there are new things that need to be added, then they'll be updated in there, and so forth. So everyone needs to go through this that has any overseer or supervision over children. And like I said, we'll do that on the 13th. Whenever possible, at least two unrelated paid staff or volunteers will be in a room when minors are present. Doors will be left fully open. So as in a teaching situation, for instance, when kids are coming to the class and one teacher is there, the doors will be left open. If a teacher has to take a child to the bathroom or something, the doors will always be left open. So there's no... No one-on-one type situation. We wanted to stress the importance of no one-on-one situations. This is where it's important for both children and staff so that there's no false accusations in any way. When you have a one-on-one situation, it's my word against your word. But when you have others there, then that kind of erases that. Okay, the other one, paid staff or volunteers should not assist children in going to the bathroom and this diaper change. We have this now in the nursery so that if you're a nursery worker and there's a diaper that needs to be changed, then one of the parents is called or an authorized, maybe sibling, to do that. And so we want to, with that, in our small Sunday school classes, especially the smallest class, you know, when one of those has to go to the bathroom, then one of the teachers will take that child and wait outside. They'll take them to the bathroom and they'll wait out there. If there's any kind of assistance that needs to be done, the parents will be called to do that. So there's no chance of any accusations or wrong thoughts in that. Number nine, we recognize there may be times when it's necessary or desirable for babysitters, paid or volunteer, who are themselves under age 18 to assist in caring for children during programs or activities. Sometimes we have some of the teens help us that are under 18, even in the teaching process. Of the little ones, or to be there to assist in those ways. There's two requirements, basically, and that is that boys have to be at least 12 years of age, and the girls have to be at least 10. And they have to be under adult supervision. Number 10 there, it's a policy of Grace Community Bible Church not to administer prescription or non-prescription medications to minors under our care. Medications should all be administered by a parent or authorized guardian. Exceptions to this may be granted for children with potentially life-threatening conditions such as asthma or severe allergy reactions and so forth. And so we just... These things are going to be taught to all of those that are teaching and are in supervision place. But just so you understand those things, and they're there too. When that is, if you have a child that has a an asthma problem or whatever that problem must be or is, it's always a good idea to inform your teacher that this might happen or this is a situation that could arise. Number 11, there are procedures here that are in place in the event that a child gets injured. And you can see those there. We will have just for scratches and so forth, there'll be Band-Aids, there'll be a first aid kit and so forth. But if there are severe injuries, you'll see that 911 will be called and so forth. You can read through that. It's pretty simplistic. And then disqualifications. There's an outline that for procedures for disqualifications of those who would not be allowed to be in supervision over the children. You'll see under number one and two there, any offense against minors are defined by or that's defined by state law, a misdemeanor or felony offense that's classified as sexual assault, indecency with a minor or adult, assault of a minor or adult, injury to a minor or adult, abandoning or endangering, and you can just read through those, but they would disqualify anyone from being able to teach or to be in the nursery. Then there's a response to sexual abuse. There are also procedures in place for proper responses that will be followed in the event of such accusations. You know, we kind of read through this thing, and to some of you, maybe it might be a little boring, but we need to see that this is a world we live in, and these things do happen. Hopefully, this would never, ever happen here, but we have to be careful of it. So there are procedures in place on how do we respond and how do we deal with that, and they're listed there as well. And then there's a letter, Child and Youth Abuse Prevention Program acknowledgement, and you can read through that. But it's basically, the applicant will sign this not as a contract, but that they're familiar with the information contained inside and that they have received a copy of it. So you'd be able to read through that. And then a sex offender becomes a member. There are specific guidelines for that as well. So we say, okay, so one of those people gets saved, and they come, and they want to become a member of the church. You know, how do we deal with that? Well, anytime that's known, you know, there's going to be a contact with a probation and a parole officer to get to know exactly what that status is. A known sexual offender cannot participate in any of the child or youth programs in any way. They won't be allowed to do that. A known sexual offender can only participate in predetermined worship services, adult Christian education hour, and grace groups. And then GCBC reserves the right to require a known sexual offender to report in for all church services and functions and be assigned to an escort who will accompany them while they're here at all times. The identity of a sexual offender will be disclosed to the congregation. If such a person is here, it'll be known by all in the congregation so that they would be aware of that situation. Okay, so that kind of covers the policy. A couple other things that I wanted to mention was is as far as boundaries, as far as fencing in our kids. First of all, you know, when is it your responsibility? Obviously, your kids are your responsibility at all times. But with the sign in, sign out, at that point, when you sign your kids in, then we're going to have responsibility over them. We're going to supervise them, and we're going to teach them. We're going to watch over them. But when your you go back and sign your kids out and you get a badge. You match up those badges, exactly how we're going to do that. Then those kids are back under your responsibility. So if you're allowing them to go outside or wherever in the building and so forth, they will be your responsibility. And we just want to state on that some of the boundaries. So when they're outside, they need to stay on Minnesota Valley property. We don't want to go over to the neighbors or be in the neighbor's property. And also, at like this time that we're at right now, anything on the south side of this building, we usually get done a little bit early. And the kids, in summertime especially, they go outside, they want to play, and so forth. But we need to stay away from the south side of the building because that's where their worship is. And we don't want to interfere with their worship. You probably noticed that we got a new barrier here. We met with them, and one of their things was that we were translating sound that way. And, of course, we get a little bit of sound coming back the other way. So we bought this barrier, and actually, to me, it sounds pretty good. How is it back there? Good. That's good. Okay, then as far as inside the building, kids are not allowed in rooms that are unsupervised. Like, for instance, the Minnesota Valley teen room downstairs, it's usually locked, but they're not allowed in there unless they're supervised and they have permission to be in there. They're not allowed in mechanical rooms or closets or store rooms or anything like that. And they're also not allowed to be in the foyer on this end of the building while they're having worship over there. We want to protect their worship, and we want to have a good testimony as far as it. They've been really great to us in allowing us to rent here and so forth. So we want to be careful that we don't disrupt their worship time as well. No running in the halls or foyer area. We want to protect the property and be good stewards to them here too. So when the kids are not being supervised and they're now in your under your control, just be mindful of that. We know that there are even I don't like to say this, but there's predators out there that do the quick thing. You know, they just pick them up and they're gone. Where when they come to churches, they come in and they be nice people and they get to know you and you think you can trust them and all that. So there's really two different types of predators. So just to be aware, to know where your kids are at all times, because we certainly don't want anything to happen to them. The other thing that I was going to say is that we have a draft of an emergency situation. If we have, there would be fire in the building here. Say, for instance, there was a fire right now. The teachers are instructed. They're downstairs, and the nursery is downstairs. There's two doors on the outside, and they are instructed that should there be a fire, that they're to take those kids and they're to get them outside, and they'll take them around, and they'll put them in the northeast corner of the parking lot. If there's a fire, and it's for us, obviously, that would be the quickest door, depending on exactly where the fire is, but that we'd exit. So the idea is not that you run downstairs, everybody runs downstairs to find their children. We have to do this systematically. We got to get out of the building, and then we can wait for them as they come out, you know, and take them that way. But it would be chaos if everybody decided, well, I got to go find my kids now and make sure that they're out of here. So, and we'll have that plan in place too. That'll be taught. Also, the other thing is in severe weather here would be that we would just go downstairs. They always talk about the northwest corner. I'm not saying that's for sure, but if it's a matter of getting under a table or getting into some kind of protection for that, and we'll have those procedures as well. So that's with it. But For now, if you have any questions, we got a few minutes, and I would entertain some questions, maybe something that I didn't explain.